WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
What do you do to try to get out of a bad mood? Eat? Have a cup of coffee? Knock back a scotch? My guest Robert Thayer is a psychologist who has researched and written about the psychological and biological factors that affect our moods. He's also studied the relative effectiveness of the things we do to try to regulate our moods. Thayer is a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. He's the author of the new book, The Origin of Everyday Moods, Managing Energy, Tension, and Stress. He says that two of the most important variables that influence our mood are energy and tension. In fact, he's divided moods into four basic categories of relative energy and tension.
When we think about the two very important variables of your energy level and your tension, anxiety, or nervousness, those two variables together, we can combine them, and they reflect or influence certain basic mood states. For example, tense energy is a state that a lot of achievement-oriented people who are doing lots of things with too little time know very well. It's actually a very positive state to many people. They feel as though they are getting lots of things done and they are enjoying it. But the problem is that physical resources begin to decline after a time in a natural way, and that leads to a state that I call tense tiredness. Tense tiredness is a kind of prototypical or classic kind of bad mood state. It's really, if you think about it, the kind of mood that underlies depression. You have no energy and you feel moderately tense. The best mood, in my view, is something I call calm energy, where your energy is high but you have no tension. It's a state that is not always identified by everyone. And finally, the fourth state is calm tiredness. And it's a state that you experience perhaps if you have an absence of stress and tension and anxiety at the end of the day and before you slip into a deep and restful sleep.
So those are the four states. That.
Right.
Well, as you said, a lot of people in these, you know, really kind of busy, overworking times experience what you call the
tense energy,
where you're running on adrenaline and anxiety and the need to get it done.
That's correct. But it's a high for many people, you know. They like that. And for many people, it's the only thing they know. When I talk about calm energy, some people say, well, what is this calm energy? Whenever I'm energetic, I'm always slightly tense. I slightly nervous. And I say, well, it is a state that is identified by some people and is a very positive state.
Is this a state that we might associate with, say, meditation, where you feel very calm, but you feel very much in control and you have energy?
As a matter of fact, people who have meditated regularly know this state pretty well. And I would say also athletes often are aware of it because it's a state that occurs in conjunction with your physical workouts and the reactions to your physical workouts.
We all try to regulate our own moods by eating more, eating less, or, you know, trying to sleep more, or whatever. What do you think are the most effective ways, based on your research, of trying to get out of a bad mood into a good one?
Well, a short while ago, we published really the first large-scale study in which exactly those questions were addressed. What do people do when they are in a bad mood? And furthermore, what works and what doesn't seem to work. We surveyed a wide variety of behaviors that people use, and it's interesting how different people are in this respect. But we found that the very best behavior, the very best activity that could be used to change a bad mood was exercise.
Why?
Well, I think that exercise raises your energy. Especially moderate exercise raises your energy immediately, or even intense exercise raises your energy initially before you exhaust your resources. So it raises your energy, and it also tends to reduce your tension level. So it puts you into that good mood state that I was talking about earlier, that calm energy state.
Physically, what do you think happens that accounts for that?
Well, there are a wide variety of physiological changes that occur with exercise, and it depends, of course, on the level of exercise that we're talking about. But there's something that I call a general bodily arousal state that occurs if you're sitting down and you get up and you begin to walk, and you walk briskly for a time. A number of changes occur in your body simultaneously. Your metabolism increases, your heart rate increases, your blood pressure. Changes occur in your hormonal levels throughout the body and in the brain. Various kinds of neurotransmitter changes occur. So there are a wide variety of physiological changes that occur. And your energy level, in some ways, is a reflection of that general bodily arousal.
Okay, if you want to like boost your energy and try to like elevate your mood, you might try coffee. But if you're in that really like tense, anxious state, alcohol, beer, wine, scotch, what's your pleasure? What do you have to say about alcohol?
Well, actually, alcohol is used often as a tension reducer, and it's exactly the reason that people use it and why habits are formed about it. So when we begin to look at all kinds of behaviors in this way, we realize that they are used because they work. They make us feel better. But the problem is that we don't always pay attention. In fact, the person who hasn't thought of these kinds of things does not pay attention to the full time course of how they work. And in the case of alcohol, a little alcohol can energize you, but then it, of course, begins to result in the opposite effect. Alcohol, in fact, as a drug, is known as a CNS, or central nervous system depressant. But we can see the energizing effects of alcohol at a party, for example, and we see that if people are having a drink, initially they become more happy and talk more and so on. But the problem is they don't stop at that point, some people. And then there are clearly negative effects.
Do you think that hormones affect our mood? And I think this is a question of particular interest to women who undergo monthly hormonal fluctuations.
Yes, certainly there are likely to be very substantial effects with some hormonal changes. The degree to which this actually occurs in a condition that has been called PMS, premenstrual syndrome, is a matter of some controversy at the present time. There are dozens and dozens of scientific studies in the past 10 years on this very thing, and some people believe that there isn't as much effect, that it's a kind of excuse that women have. Others do not. I personally believe that to some extent this is related to the woman, of course. Some women are more likely to experience this than others. And furthermore, I think that there are probably subtle changes that occur in your bodily state at the time of menstruation or prior to that. And they are uncomfortable. This results in slightly, perhaps a lot, increased tension. And so I think there is something to this. I'm on the side of those individuals who believe that there is, in fact, a real effect like this. And of course, menopause and birth and postpartum periods clearly are times when there are huge hormonal changes occurring, and often we see big mood changes occurring at that same time.
If you're feeling very stressed out, bad mood, cranky, tired, one solution might be try a nap. I personally find if I take a nap, I feel worse when I get up instead of more rested, and I wonder what your experience is as a researcher with naps.
Yes.
And mood.
Well, I think that certain kinds of naps and naps taken at certain times and under certain conditions can be very positive. But there really is a knack to napping properly. One of the reasons that people feel worse when they try to nap is that it drops their energy level. And when they awaken, especially if they've napped too long, they're at a very low energy level and they feel not good in that situation. But if they had taken a shorter nap, for example, and taken the nap at a certain time, for example, in the afternoon of your day, as opposed to in the evening, so that it interferes with your later sleep, that's likely to be much more beneficial.
Do you think you should time your nap and set the alarm?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What's a good amount of time?
Well, I think it differs for individuals, but in my own experience, I find that a 30-minute nap in the afternoon is very effective. If I go 45 minutes or 1 hour, it's too much, and it interferes with my night sleep the next that night.
Are cigarettes mood regulators?
They certainly are, and cigarettes are very insidious. The nicotine has a very insidious effect because it produces an immediately positive mood reaction, slightly increased energy probably, and relaxation oftentimes of the skeletal muscular system, of the muscles of the body. So smoking a cigarette can be a very positive thing for those people who use it. Unfortunately, it is such an insidious drug that it can be, and rapidly is, by many people, overused.
And I guess because it is in part a mood regulator, it makes it harder to stop.
That's exactly correct.
What are some of the things you do to regulate your mood?
Well, I personally use exercise as a mood regulator. I exercise every day. I also try, to some extent, to meditate, although I'm not a heavy meditator. And I use exercise not just by going to a gym to work out, but I try, for example, when I have some place to go to walk, if I possibly can, because walking is an excellent form of exercise. I also try to pay attention to my food intake. And for me, reduced sugar intake and reduced fats are better. So I try to do these kinds of things. And I try, once again, to be aware of how these various things are likely to influence my mood.
Do you ever find yourself saying to someone in your family or a colleague who is being rude with you or cold to you, and do you find yourself saying, look, you're just in a bad mood, why don't we get back to this tomorrow?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I find myself saying that often. And if it's someone who sees me as an authority, they may actually do that.
And if not, they'll just be even more annoyed with you.
Oh, yeah. But I'm joking about it. But in fact, it's the way to do it. There is no question about it.
Well, Robert Thayer, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Robert Thayer is the author of The Origin of Everyday Moods. He's a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. This is Fresh Air.